views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. My name is Steve Kramer. It is a delight to be with you. So glad you're joining us. Us being me and my delightful co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Steve.
Great to be with you.
Great to be back.
Indeed. So we're back with a new theme. We are starting the second half of our season, and we're going to look at compassion. For the month of August, we've got 3 weeks to explore compassion. What is it? What are some issues that could get in the way of us generating compassion? And what are some tools we can use to do just that, to generate compassion in our lives? So it's going to be a really interesting journey into this word compassion. So Dorothy, do you have a quote for us? I know you usually have a quote in the wings.
Yes. I've got one from the Dalai Lama. It is, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive. Which is, to me, just such a beautiful quote. It speaks to the fact that we are interdependent and that compassion, which is one of the ways that we connect with each other, is critical to that interdependence.
Absolutely. And you know, this idea that we cannot survive without them. I mean, that's very big, right? I mean, when you think of resources, you know, we've got to work together as a group. We talk about this all the time of the one life and group activity, group consideration, even awareness that we are a part of this group called humanity. And unless we work together, you think in terms of resources, of being 7 billion people on this planet, you know, we've got to cooperate. And we see what happens when we don't. It literally leads to war and to suffering, which is a keynote, right, of compassion.
That's right. And the one of the challenges is that when someone like President Trump says, in relation to North Korea, fire and fury like the earth has never seen, what he's doing, he's not simply threatening the leader of North Korea, which is the way he positions it. He's actually threatening all of us, because the consequence of that can be devastating to the entire world.
And he minces no words in saying that, like, the world has never seen. And if it doesn't sort of send a chill down your spine, then you're not really paying attention to words and their meaning. And we talk quite a bit about that on this show, right? Words.
That's right. Exactly. So what we have then is an example, a very clear leadership example of a non-compassionate comment, a non-compassionate approach. And if we think about compassion, you mentioned the word suffering, Steve. One of the key components of compassion is being moved by another's suffering, and that suffering isn't necessarily the fall down and skin your knee type suffering. It can be other types of psychological suffering. And compassion moves us to do something, to reach out, to help in some kind of way.
And I love that you use the word moves, because that's also another key component. We can sometimes get the word compassion and empathy. If not confused, we might interchange them. And so that you said it moves one to help empathy. Empathy involves feeling or being able to understand, being able to feel what another is feeling. Whereas with empathy, with compassion, we're actually moved to respond to that. We're moved to help them. So, you know, for instance, if I hear that a loved one passed away, most all of us have experienced a loved one passing away. I know what that feels like, so I can empathize with you, but I may not know how to respond or what you might need in this moment. And so I can still empathize, whereas compassion would be reaching out and joining you in that suffering, but also being moved to help.
Well, and in a broader sense, I think, Steve, moved to do something about the situation. There are some very poignant and difficult messages from what happened in Charlottesville. But one of them that I was particularly moved by was Heather's mother saying how painful it was to lose her daughter, but she has to make it mean something. She's moved to action by that. And part of the compassion that she expressed was to the mother of the suspect, the mother of the person who drove the car and killed her daughter. And she's saying, I lost my daughter. She lost her son in a very real way, and we have to make this mean something. We have to take action.
Well, and speaking of action and compassion, what really stuck out with me and continues to through this sort of national dialogue was, again, the lack of compassion. In talking about North Korea, you said, that often our president does not express compassion or does not even seem to understand what that is on so many levels. And the fact that there could be a national tragedy, and I mean, as many are going as far as saying, and as it feels absolutely truthful to me, that this is an example of domestic, of domestic terrorism. Goodness gracious. See, a block.
Or American terrorism is... Michael Moore was saying.
Yeah, that this is a terrorist act, and that you would not feel the need to say the name of the victim, to reach out to their family, and to just not address it in a way that is that shows leadership and shows compassion. A leader is expected to have some understanding of these ideas of group and what it means to lead a group, what it means to offer right action and right speech and just simple caring and concern. So that and the other that stands out with the Charlottesville is there was an interview on CNN where they were interviewing one woman who was actually pushed out of the way by her fiance. Anybody who hasn't seen that, it's a really wonderful interview with Chris Cuomo. And her fiance, in a split second, was right in front of this car. And there's that photograph, which I'm sure will win the Pulitzer Prize, of him being thrown in the air. And a millisecond before that picture was taken, he pushed his fiance out of the way. And all three of them, they were with the young woman who died. And all three of them would have most likely perished as they were right in the way of that car. And he says, in a later interview, says, I just didn't think in a split second except to move this loved one out of the way. And if that isn't an act of compassion, I don't know what is. And to think that people would see this gentleman who happens to be African American, to see the color of his skin and judge him in that way before the heart and the selflessness and the compassion that this man possesses is just, it's just sheer ignorance. And it's a shame because you're really missing out, right, on the beauty of connection and of life.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's more than missing out, though. When when a positive action is called for and it doesn't take place, and this is, I think, you know, part of the concern with what how President Trump chose to position himself on the weekend, this is really harm by omission. Remember, we talked about, when we talked about harmfulness, we talked about you can harm through commission, through doing something, but you can harm by not doing something when it's called for, not standing up and naming what's happening, not reaching out with compassion to the victims. That, to me, is harm.
Absolutely. And I think we all felt that. You know, I, once again, in this last many months, have been moved to tears, you know, and just great sorrow at what our country is experiencing. Yes, indeed. There was a the young woman that was interviewed had a T-shirt that said, "If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention," which is similar to what you're saying about omission, but it's a choice to not pay attention, right? I mean,
that's right.
We all feel that it is. It is indeed a choice. So, Dorothy,
it's a choice. Go on. It's a choice, and so what you're modeling for other people is that that is an okay choice, and that's where the harm comes from.
Yes, yes. I just wanted to point out before we go to our first break, in that it sounds simplistic, but the quote that you mentioned, that love and compassion are necessities, you know, that we can't survive without love and compassion. We talk about suffering when we talk about compassion, and that it's really a sharing. There is that sharing, it quite literally means to share in suffering, and that love is really to share in joy. And so love and compassion being necessities, it is that we are really built to share the full range of human experience, and we are intended to be there for each other and with each other through joy and through suffering. And that is what brings love to the surface, that generates love, that generates compassion. And we have to possess that so that we can be here with each other through better or for worse. Indeed. So Dorothy, we're going to go to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the importance of compassion. You know, why is it so important that we possess this wonderful quality? We'll be right back.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's retreat. Attend In Silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
Do you want to heal your body and mind? Your body has a lot to tell you if you just learn to listen to your intuition. Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio, can help you peel away the layers that are holding you back from living your best life. Tune in to Rewired Life Radio. Learn to love, heal, celebrate on Transformation Talk Radio every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Connect with Audrey at audreymichelle.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com. Discover the healing medicine from the giant monkey tree frog Cambo. Cambo practitioner Ginny Rutherford and professional psychic Todd Rolson have come together for lively discussions of alternative healing medicines from the Amazon. Ginny and Todd bring you Cambo Talk Radio. Tune in each Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific to hear from guests all over the world with real life stories and the medicinal benefits of Cambo. For more information, visit CamboKiss.com.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Listeners, just so you know, in the spirit of cooperation and of group, as we've been talking about and as we often talk about on this show, Dorothy and I are both members of educational nonprofits, and together we bring you Spirit Fire Radio. Spirit Fire is an organization that I am a leader and a member of, and we are an educational nonprofit focused on cultivating consciousness and educating people on the importance of spirituality in everyday life. We do that through our own meditation practice called the Practice of Living Awareness and retreats at our retreat center, where I'm personally broadcasting from in Western Massachusetts. So you can find out more about us at spiritfire.com. And Dorothy?
And I am with the School for Esoteric Studies, which is also an educational nonprofit. Our focus is on providing esoteric discipleship training for persons wishing to be of service in the world and wishing to deepen their spiritual discipline. We provide this through meditation, study, and service, and you can find out more about us at esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net. And Steve, before we move to the importance of compassion, I think there's just a couple of other pieces about compassion that are really critical for us to note. One is, one of the aspects of compassion is, we talked about there being an action component to it, but another aspect is not expecting to be thanked or rewarded. In other words, you don't do this in order to look good in society, in order to get, you know, all kinds of kudos and applause. It is a person-to-person relationship that is not intended for that kind of stage, so to speak. And it's one of the things that is, can be very important and difficult about being compassionate is relinquishing the desire to criticize, because we need to come, you know, with an open heart and accept people where they are, and then think about ways to move on from there. We do have an innate compassionate instinct. This is some of the kind of classic commentary about humanity is more implies that we are basically competitive, which we're not. We can see this in all kinds of psychological studies that have been done, but we do depend on being able to connect with each other, and that feeling of connection is very important actually to our sense of self. If you think about being the impact of being socially isolated, the impact of shunning, which is a behavior that's used to try to bring people in line, the reason that that is so painful is because we are built to be in connection, and compassion is part of our experience of that connection. And compassion is contagious. You know, we have activities like the random acts of kindness. And if you are compassionate with somebody else, the likelihood is that other people are more likely to step forward and act from compassion. So just a few things, Steve, that I thought were worth mentioning before we move into the importance.
Yeah, very good points. And one thing I wanted to just add a little word or two to is the idea of meeting someone within the space, you know, meeting them within their suffering without judging or criticizing where they're at within that suffering is I find a real keynote of compassion, that we sort of have to create space for somebody to simply be within their suffering. And I'm sure we'll talk about this next week when we talk about sort of what can get in the way of the problems inherent with generating compassion, is that, you know, sometimes our desire to help is sort of takes over and not allowing enough space for someone to just simply be and be heart with them. You know, be with them in the space of their suffering, and do that without judgment or pity. And there's an allowing, you know, in a creating space. I think Eckhart Tolle in A New Earth talks quite a bit about, can I allow for space for someone to be in their suffering? And that is a wonderful doorway in. And has, you know, that also generates this with not having conditions, you know, that I'll help you if, or just allowing someone space. Indeed. Wonderful points. Thanks, Dorothy.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve, you know, when we talk about the importance of compassion, I think it's really critical to emphasize that the Darwinian theory that many go back to and say it's the survival of the fittest, actually what Darwin argued for was the survival of the kindest. He saw kindness, which is related to compassion, as being critical for human community. But what happened was that in the time that he existed, the social Darwinists argued for survival of the fittest in order to justify class and race superiority, which is interesting in terms of the dynamic that we experienced this past weekend with people who espouse a philosophy of white supremacy, white superiority.
Yeah, we definitely are trying to evolve beyond that. It comes down in that case to competition again versus cooperation. The idea of survival of the fittest makes us think of competition, and survival of the kindest. He used the word sympathy quite a bit. I pulled up that quote from The Descent of Man. I find it very interesting. He says, "In however complex a matter this feeling," and he's talking about sympathy, "however complex a matter that this feeling originated, it is one of highest importance in all those animals which aid and defend one another. And it will have been increased through natural selection for those communities which included the greatest number of the most sympathetic members will flourish best." So basically he's saying, when those communities that have those that care and look out for each other, those communities will flourish. So again, it really does come down to communities. You know, we have got to learn to care for one another and see ourselves as part of group, as part of the human community.
Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that in the act of compassion, one is feeling into someone else's space, you know, as you were saying. And that act of giving, you know, or focusing on someone else, we put it that way, is actually more pleasurable than taking for ourselves. People are significantly happier, what research tells us, when they're spending money on other people than when they spend it on themselves. So that's, again, an interesting turnaround from what some of the societal myths are about competition and self-focus and that kind of thing.
Right. Well, anybody who's ever received a hug, right? The research shows that any non-aggressive touch, it stimulates the vasic nerve, the vagus nerve, rather, and that stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is our rest and digest, which is, you know, puts to rest the fight or flight. And so it releases oxytocin, we feel trust, and we feel good. So of course, you know, it we feel better and we're going to be healthier. And I think that's even, again, what Darwin is saying, that when you've got a community that actually supports each other, that they raise healthier offspring, because to feel supported and even touched to help one another feels good. And it just generates healthier beings and therefore longevity, right?
Mm-hmm. And actually, there's research, Steve, that compassion protects against stress, and that it does literally result in better physical and mental health. There's less likelihood of depression because of shifting away from a self-focus of, you know, feeling separated from others. There's a faster recovery from illness. And there's even some research suggesting that it may lengthen lifespan when you have a stronger sense of social connection, especially research with older people who are isolated versus older people who remain networked with others.
It makes sense, right? It makes sense. My partner and I had our nephew with us this summer, and he just got home to his parents. And the first thing he told his parents was that the morning after he arrived, my partner said, "Gunnar, we're so happy you're here," and gave him a big hug, a really big, earnest hug. And he felt so great. It was the first thing he told his parents. So, you know, hugs and compassion and letting someone know that you see them, you're happy you're with them, that you have a connection with them. It feels great and it leaves a lasting impression. So I certainly would agree with you that it would lengthen our lifespan, and it just feels good. It's joyful to be connected.
Yes, it does.
But, you know, so much of that has to do with being in touch with our own feeling nature, right? I mean, we've got to know ourselves and we've got to recognize that. We've got to be soft and open and receive a hug and receive compassion. So we need to be in touch with ourselves. And so we're going to go to a break, and when we come back, let's talk a bit about ourselves, because it really starts first with us. We've got to have compassion with ourselves so we can experience that, know what it feels like, and then offer that to another. So we'll be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
Hi there. My name is Audrey Michelle, host of Rewired Life Radio and a spiritual growth coach. I talk about this all the time on my show, listening to your body and acting on intuition. What do these things even mean? Here's the thing. About 10 years ago, I figured out I was doing it all wrong. I mean, I wasn't unhappy, but was I really happy? And then life sent me a spiritual smackdown, like it does, because I wasn't listening to my best resource, my body and my intuition. I was living from a place of fear. I was stressed and I was in pain, and I seemed to be happily unhappy. Mostly, I just didn't know what I didn't know. And what I didn't know was that my body and my intuition had all the tools I needed to live life as my best self. I'm sharing the tools I have learned over the last 10 years of my healing journey in my online class, Soul Awakening, beginning September 19th. Learn more. Go to audreymichelle.com/awaken. That's Audrey Michelle, spelled MICHEL.com/awaken.
Gain powerful insight and practical tools to support you on your spiritual journey. Access your higher self and tune in every second and fourth Thursday at 12 p.m. Pacific to A Life Untethered with Andrew Martin, Walking the Path of Freedom.
Andrew is a highly attuned intuitive oracle, energy worker, spiritual teacher, and international radio host. For more about Andrew and his services, visit thelightedones.com.
Known for his keen sense of humor, contagious smile, and extensive esoteric wisdom, EJ translates deep spiritual wisdom into practical advice to empower you to live your happiest, most fulfilled experience. Mystic Living Radio, Deep Spiritual Wisdom, Practical Advice with EJ, Eliyahu Gion. This hit show delivers profound experiences for all who want to live life to their deepest desires. Tune in monthly for Mystic Living Radio. Learn more by visiting vitaltransformation.org.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle, and we have been talking about compassion. Dorothy, it's been a great conversation. I always love when we start these topics. You can tell, I can personally tell, that we've got so much ground to cover, and it's going to be an exciting several weeks. So next week, we're going to talk about what can get in the way. What are the problems with generating compassion? What to look out for, and how to sort of perhaps remove some of these blockages that keep us from generating that wonderful quality within ourselves. And then we're going to talk about tools, just give you some healthy pointers for generating compassion, some exercises, and ways that we can bring that into our lives and share it with one another. But it starts with ourselves, huh, Dorothy?
It does start, although I want to just put a pin in or mention something that our listeners could be thinking about for next week, and that is the issue of compassion towards those that we really don't respect, don't feel respect for, or are angry with, or want to distance ourselves from. We had examples of that over the weekend in Charlottesville. How do we feel about people that were on the other end of the political spectrum that was being expressed? So that's, to me, one of the big challenges that we'll be talking about next week.
Absolutely.
But getting back to ourselves, to me, Steve, one of the most important things to keep in mind always is that we behave towards other people in large part the way we behave towards ourselves. So if we want to be compassionate with others, we have to be able to be compassionate with ourselves. And that means letting go of judging and criticizing ourselves. That doesn't mean not holding ourselves accountable, but being understanding of the process that we go through as humans to learn. We do that through experimentation, and experimentation means that we're going to make mistakes. We're going to screw up. And so how are we kind with ourselves when that happens?
Yes, if we're going to create space for others' screw-ups, we've got to create space for our own. I certainly ask myself that quite often. Was that thought kind? Was that thought gentle in terms of myself, if I have been self-critical, or if I'm just simply being hard on myself? I think we all do that throughout the day, and asking, you know, was that just kind? Was that gentle? And observation, it really requires one to learn the tools of observation, of being able to observe oneself, to create space. Certainly, we both know and have exercised meditation that is one way to observe oneself and to be gentle and create that space. So, you know, one recommendation certainly is to research meditation if you're not a meditator already, to look into it, because certainly getting to know ourselves is getting to know our thoughts, getting to know our mind. And that's an important, can be an important, can be a really helpful tool, rather.
Right, right. And I would just hasten to add that we don't mean meditation as a technique to relax and feel good about yourself. We mean meditation in the sense of a mental discipline.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. And a getting to know one's mind, you know, it is a, it is an educating of oneself about oneself and therefore about others and about humanity itself. So really, yes, it is quite practical and a process indeed of learning about the mind.
And so that relates to the whole practice of mindfulness, right? Of being being aware of what's going on within ourselves, what our self-talk is, whether that self-talk is helpful or whether it's whether we have this little critical theme running in the background. Well, you could have done this. You should have done this. Why didn't you think of this? That's part of being compassionate to me with myself. Is turning that off, or rather replacing that with interesting, what can we learn from this? What could we do differently next time? What other options do we have? That kind of talk.
Absolutely. Yeah. I also think it's on the physical level as well. Here at Spirit Fire at the Retreat Center, next year we've got 3 retreats that are for caregivers. Because so people who exercise compassion on a daily basis, you know, either caregivers, healthcare providers, social workers, so often their life becomes about giving and they forget that they need to care for themselves. And caregiver burnout, it's a huge epidemic. And the very fact that these retreats have filled up right away shows that it's out there. So, you know, not only healthcare providers, but all of us who care for people, you know, it does feel wonderful. And we know that it is, you know, if we're heartful people, we want to give, but giving also has got to be about giving to ourselves so that we've got something to give. Otherwise, it's just burnout. We've got to care.
That's right. And one of the ways to me that's helpful to think about this is to remember back to the fact that we are basically energetic beings. We get seduced into thinking of ourselves as being this physical body, but it's actually the etheric body which overlays it is an energetic body. And part of what we're talking about, I think, Steve, you know, when we talk about burnout, is that we're not paying attention to the boundaries of our energy field. We're not taking good care to nurture, you know, like you would plants in a garden, to nurture our own energy field and keep it whole. Instead, we let it become porous and our energy just drip and drain out of ourselves. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Because we can so often think of compassion about being as being selfless. You know, this word altruism.
Right.
And selfless doesn't mean that you don't have a self. You know, your self is very important. It is a vehicle that the universe is using. You know, it's using to generate awareness and compassion. And you are a part of that energy field. You came from it and you are a part of it. So selflessness, you know, should not be confused with denying oneself, right?
That's right. That's right. The image that I always find helpful, I don't know if it's meaningful to our listeners, is in Tai Chi, there's a dynamic called joint hands, where, and you can experience this if you stand face to face with someone, put your, your right feet together, put the backs of your hands together, and then move them around. And if you are centered in yourself, the other person can push you that way and you will not fall over. You will not get off center. But if you're not centered in yourself, if your energy field is not, doesn't have a coherence, then when someone pushes towards you, you're going to stagger or fall backwards or fall sideways. I don't know if you can visualize that, if that's meaningful, but to me, it's a very helpful image that I should always be able to stay in centered in the way that I can move towards a way back and still maintain my own integrity.
Mm. And to offer coherence. I love that word, coherence. Indeed, because to offer compassion is to offer oneself. And so you need presence, right? You need to be aligned and connected and be able to offer all that the universe has to offer in terms of your heart, your mind, but you've got to be a channel for that. And so you've got to be present. And that means taking care of yourself, indeed.
It might be helpful to just comment on what compassion for ourselves is not. It's not self-pity. It's not indulging ourselves. It's not feeling special. And that can be a bit tricky because we talk about self-esteem, but so often self-esteem is positioned as being better than other people, being special, as opposed to being, again, coherent in ourselves.
Yes, yes. And it makes me think of the last segment we were talking about offering without expecting something in return, and that idea of pity and indulgence. When we don't practice, you know, this idea of not generating self-pity or self-indulgence, we also can have a tendency to mistake compassion for pitying another, you know, or indulge them in their sorrow or indulging someone else in their suffering. And really the action component is about moving someone away from suffering. So that's another thing I'm sure we will talk about next week, is this idea of pity and indulgence and even esteem as well, of hubris around sort of always helping another. So we have to be careful exactly that in ourselves, and also then that if we're not careful of that in ourselves, that can show up in what we might mistake for compassion in another. Dorothy, we're at another break. Listeners, we'll be right back. We're going to talk more about compassion, perhaps compassion and goodwill. We'll be right back.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness meditation retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Now you can be a part of one of the most powerful programs to help create a more joyful, loving, abundant, and peaceful world. Every day at 12 noon in any time zone, join millions of other people around the world to spend a few minutes in joy, love, and gratitude. Brought to you by Robert Schoenfeld, host of the Art of Powerful Living Radio. Together, we can raise the vibration of the planet. For more information, visit globalmomentofjoy.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professors Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome back, listeners, to Spirit Fire Radio. Dr. Dorothy Riddle and I are discussing compassion. We're going to continue that discussion for the rest of the month. We spent an entire month talking about goodwill, Dorothy, and I loved that. That whole month was really enlightening and really wonderful fodder for thought and action, right? I'm wondering if you could differentiate those two, goodwill and compassion. They're so related, but there are distinctions between them, yeah?
Yep, there certainly are. And there are several ways that we can think about this, Steve. One is we can think about it in terms of compassion being more focused at the individual level. I mean, it may be for a group, but it's not an everybody, you know, kind of generic feeling. It is focused on what's happening in a particular situation, while goodwill is focused on the common good, on moving us towards a space in which everyone feels respected, feels that they are able to operate with dignity. Another way of distinguishing them, I think, it's not that they're so different. It's like they're two faces of the same dynamic. In a certain way, compassion is reactive. It's activated in a specific situation in response to what is happening, whereas goodwill is proactive. It's focused on the potential of humanity and how we can maximize or activate that potential.
So there doesn't seem to be a specific cause that is generating either compassion or goodwill, but goodwill is really a way of being. Right, it is seeing the full potential and generating action toward that, toward goodness, toward all of humanity. Because we think of someone, we can say about someone, oh, they're a compassionate soul, right?
And yes,
doesn't necessarily have the same when we say it in that way. You don't necessarily sense the action component, right? Or to say that individual's life is dedicated to goodwill, right?
Well, I don't know. I think I would put it just a little bit differently. When we say that someone is a compassionate person, what that says to me is that the person approaches life from the perspective of compassion. That is, they can they can express compassion easily, and they do express it when it's appropriate.
Right.
But I still think that there's a situation that triggers its expression. Mm-hmm. It's not that I walk down the street being compassionate. It's, you know, I need a context
right.
in which to express it. Whereas my attitude towards being in the world is one of goodwill. That's something that to me is it's a general disposition that I don't need a specific situation in which to express it.
Wonderful. Very clear. Very, very clear. Beautiful. The whole sort of those crossroads and that flip side of the same coin of compassion and goodwill makes me think of an organization that came to light during this event in Charlottesville, and it is an organization called Facing History and Facing Ourselves, and they've got a mission to offer resources for educators to engage students in this topic of racism and prejudice. How do you talk about that in the classroom? And they did so much wonderful work over the weekend in creating resources for teachers so that on Monday morning, when kids were in dialogue about this and what happened, you know, how do you generate meaningful dialogue, and how do you sort of deepen their critical thinking? Because really, that's what we've got to engage. This is just sheer ignorance, really, what we're seeing in the news, and it's got to be reversed, and that's only reversed through education, right? I mean, certainly through heart caring, but we've got to create individuals who can think critically and understand their history. And it looks like, I mean, we think we all could learn from this. It's called facinghistory.org. And their slogan is, people make choices, choices make history. So it's a fact, right, Dorothy? People make choices, mm-hmm. choices make history. So really educating students, educating teachers on ways that they can educate students on our history and how we came to be who we are today and what choices people make. And I think it just comes down to group. I mean, we all want to be accepted. We all want to be a part of a group. We all want to feel that we're surrounded by people who share our ideals, share our beliefs. But at some point, we've got to take a look outside of only the group and see the greater group. And is that group making choices that aren't aligned, you know, with the greater good? And so I'm sure we will continue to talk about this idea of the greater group and how to generate compassion. It was really shocking this past weekend, Charlottesville. So I'm sure it will come up again in our topic of compassion this month.
Well, and I just want to put in a couple of points that I think are challenging and that we need to not forget. You know, there was and there is a lot of talk about, for example, white supremacists. And language is so important. A person is not a white supremacist. A person is someone who espouses a philosophy, and that philosophy happens to be white supremacy. And I think that distinction between the person and the belief system is really critical for us to keep in mind, because the holding of a philosophy, to me, has the potential that the philosophy could change given different circumstances. But if you label a person a particular way, then change is much less likely. The potential for change is not apparent. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And one of the interesting news segments that I heard, and I have to say that this touched me personally, because I myself have stereotypes that I hold that I haven't bothered to check out. And what they were saying was that the people that were marching with the torches, oftentimes people assume that those are uneducated people, people who are from a certain socioeconomic class, lower socioeconomic class. And in fact, people marching with the torches could be accountants, lawyers, teachers, guidance counselors. There were interviews with some of them in terms of, you know, what they did for a living. And so you had all different walks of life, all different educational levels represented. It's a very diverse group, not the kind of stereotypic homogeneous group that we might think. And
right.
That's important if we're going to relate compassionately to other people.
Yes, so we've got to give them the space to choose otherwise than their actions that reflect certain belief systems. The young man who was thrown in the air that pushed his fiance out of the way, they were sort of baiting him to say something negative about Donald Trump. And he said, you know, I just don't have anything positive to say. So at this moment right now, I won't say anything at all. And in a sense, I saw it as compassion and as setting an example. Not that we don't need to call people out when they need to be called out, but certainly much.
Well,
and
that's one of the challenges, isn't it, Steve, is the challenge between holding people accountable
yes.
for the consequences of their actions and their beliefs and holding them in a space where we are curious about what it is that they believe, why they believe that, and trying to actually recognize them as people, as individuals,
yeah.
not just stereotypes.
And allowing them space to make a new choice, which we
yeah.
hope will happen in this week to come. We're at the end of the show, Dorothy. It's been a wonderful conversation, and I look forward to continuing this next week when we talk about what can get in the way of compassion, because there's so much to talk about in that regard. So we will continue this conversation next week.
Great.
All right. Thanks, listeners. We'll see you next week on Spirit Fire Radio.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.